Live from Music Row in Nashville, this is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
Good morning. Roy Mathock Jr. here, and we're going to be talking about money and business and all the things that make up life when it comes to how you do each week and throughout your lifetime. It's all about finding a way to get some quality of life. A lot of that quality of life depends on your income minus your outgo. And when you have a big gap there, you seem to be a lot more happier. And so if you have any questions you'd like answered, 737-9522, 615-737-9522. You can send me an email at roy@roymatlockjr.com. I'll be happy to answer your email questions on the air. And we're going to get into some good stuff today. You know, it's interesting. I read all the time, and I was reading about the Politico article that talked about tax refunds, and that tax refunds are down 17%, and, you know, as if that is a bad thing. And so, you know, the tax reform that went through, that Trump pushed through, gave a good percentage of people opportunity to where they don't have to itemize. It was interesting, even the ones that could itemize, for the most part, unless you had a big mortgage and things like that, you probably didn't even use that, and you were better off with your standard deduction. Now, there it's a little over $12,000 per person, at $25,000 if you're married. And so, guys, if you're getting a tax refund, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. A tax refund is nothing more than an interest-free loan to the IRS. So what that means is that you did not, you had too much withheld, and throughout the year, you loan that money to the IRS. They didn't pay any interest on it. And in many cases, I hear people that go out and they take that tax refund. They think that is a savings plan. They actually then want to get their tax refund early, and they pay a fee in order to get a tax refund on the money they could have gotten throughout the year. And so, guys, if your tax refund is down, that's good. Chances are, throughout the entire year, your paycheck was up. And so don't read into this bad information. We've been telling people that many, many years to, you know, go ahead and get to the point where you owe a little bit or get a little bit back, but don't have a big tax refund. Then take your tax refund and that you were going to be getting, get it inside of your paycheck, stick it into your 401k, fully fund that, and then what ends up happening is you get a tax deduction on your 401k, which gives you more money coming back, so you can raise your exemptions even more because now you're funding that 401k and you're doing that much better. And so I thought that was an interesting article. I've seen this as if it's a negative that people are getting a lesser tax refund, but the fact of the matter is it's because they got more throughout the year, which is a good thing. All right, so we're going to continue talking about things like that. I'll give you another thing that I read, and I think it's really good that, you know, this show is about developing wealth and going out and doing something. And, you know, when I first got started in business back in my early 20s, I was like everybody else. I started with nothing and, you know, was out there struggling, and, you know, I had basically every month I was having to work in order to just be able to get by, just to be able to survive. And I finally bought a house that I shouldn't have bought. It was too big of a, you know, any kind of house back then was too big of a house for me to be buying because my business wasn't stable. And so next thing you know, I'm struggling, you know, to pay my bills. I've got debt. I got all that kind of stuff. And I kept saying to myself, if I ever get out of this mess, I'm never going to go back into it. And so what ended up happening, you know, there's keys to becoming successful when it comes to money. The first is that you have to manage your income. Now, the way you manage your income is you work every day on becoming more valuable. And becoming more valuable means that you have more knowledge, in order to do something that will allow you to earn more money. So my first thing that I would tell someone is this. You need to start working on a plan to double, triple, quadruple your current income. So let's say that you're out there right now and your average median income, you're making $50,000, $60,000 a year, and you got a family, and you got a couple kids, and, you know, a home, and all that kind of stuff. Guys, that's just not a lot of money left over, all right? So if you can put aside $100 a month, $200 a month, $300 a month, you're doing pretty good. And so what that does is that will give you a plan to where one day, 20, 30 years from now, you'll be able to retire, put $300 a month away. I mean, you do that kind of stuff. 20 years later, you know, you'll have $200,000 or $300,000 if you do that. But the real key is this. What if you decided that you were going to keep your income where it is? You're going to keep your outgo where it is. You're still living on that 50 grand that you were making, but suddenly you turned around and you started making $100,000. Well, you would pay your income taxes, which would probably cost you about another 20. You would have $30,000 left over rather than $300 a month. Well, what if you worked and found a way to make $150,000? Well, that would be $100,000 minus your taxes. That would leave you about $70,000. Well, if you do that for 5 years, $70,000 a year savings, you've got $300,000. You suddenly changed everything. And the way you changed it was you locked in your expenses and you raised your income. And that's exactly what I did. I saw my income go up, and as my income went up, I kept my expenses down. Matter of fact, as my income went up and my expenses, I started looking at my expenses totally different because I knew everything I spent was money I couldn't put into an investment that would get me free. So if you're out there right now and you're struggling, you're trying to figure out what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? Well, the first thing I would tell you to do is work on the income side. You know, work on it. What are you going to do in order to be more valuable? It may be you need to work more hours. Maybe you need to take a class. Maybe you just need to do what, you know, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett say they do every day. They read and read and read. And so what they do is they self-educate. As I was growing up, my father ended up, he didn't finish high school, and he started his own business when he was like 20 years old, 19 years old. And what he did was he self-educated his entire life. He self-educated. He would read and read, and then he would take feedback. I remember when it came to real estate, he would rent houses out, and every time somebody did him wrong on the rent, he would go in there and he would change that lease up to where eventually what happened is he never had people take advantage of him because he learned from his experience. And so if you're out there right now listening in and you're wanting to have movement forward, you need to work on your value proposition, work on what you're doing right now to improve what you know, and then take and that knowledge base to action. Do something with it. You know, I read all the time about people wanting to buy rental property and they want to flip houses and they want to do that. Do you know that people really do make money buying rental houses and flipping them? But I can tell you the people that don't make money are the ones that don't know what they're doing. They don't have the knowledge to go out there and do the things. And so what you have to do is when you're thinking about getting started in business and doing things, you got to know and you got to do. So the call-in number is 615-737-9522. You can also send emails to roy@roymatlockjr.com. We're going to continue. Last week we talked about what do you do when you're at or near retirement. We're going to be doing that as throughout the show today. We'll be right back.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. The Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, we're back. Roy Matlock here, and we are talking money. And this morning, so far, we've talked about, you know, what do you do to move forward? And I totally believe it's about income minus outgo. And you always want to work on moving your income up. And by doing that, you got to know, you got to do, and then take action on that knowledge base. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's knowing and doing. And then when it comes to your money, what you've got to do is you got to not throw it away. I read an article. It's an interesting article that goes out. They've been doing this apparently for a number of years. And it's called the Financial Educators Council. And it says financial illiteracy cost Americans over $1,200 in 2018. I think they're very wrong in that. I think it cost them way more than that. But it went through and it talked about, they surveyed all these different people and they say, how many of you lost at least $500 because you don't know? How many of you lost $1,000 because you don't know? And they went through this, and how many lost $10,000? And they were interviewing these different people and they asked them all these different questions. And basically they said, look, you know, you're throwing money away because you don't know. Wouldn't it make sense to get educated with your money? And so, you know, I do these shows on the weekend now. I used to do them every day on the Money Game, you know, Monday through Friday, for many, many years, 3 hours a day answering questions for people and giving them education. I told people, listen in, you'll learn. That's what you have to do. You have to go do things that will cause you to not be financially illiterate. And so I want to compliment you if you're listening in right now. And if you have questions, you can call in. I'll be happy to answer those questions, 615-737-9522. But I'm going to bring a caller on now. And Rick, are you there?
Yes, I am. Roy Matlock, Jr. I haven't talked to you in over 30 years. I used to listen to you and Dave when I drove a truck and I was newly married with kids, and I hope your golf game is better than it was 30 years ago.
Well, back 30 years ago, I worked a lot more. Now my golf game's pretty good.
Praise the Lord. Hey, Roy, here's my deal. Back in the day when I was listening to y'all and driving that delivery truck and trying to make a living, had a new little baby girl. Well, that little baby girl just graduated college with honors, but she left me a little school debt, and I told her she's been a good kid. I'll take care of Dad. Back. So, grand in student debt after she's
I'm sorry, how much do you have left?
20 grand.
20,000, okay.
So I made sure that I've got my wife, and I only work part-time. She worked part-time all those years because we wanted her to be at home with the children. She did. We stayed in the same house. I got it paid for on $30,000. You add her $12,000 part-time, around $42,000 a year. In the medium-sized home, is paid for, vehicles are paid for. I've done the plan. I know how. And the biggest thing I can tell anybody out there in America is you got bills that you have every month, pay them on time, write the check, set it aside, date the envelope for when you want to mail it, and you make sure you pay your bills. And if there's money left at the end of the month, great. If there's not, you hold tight until the next payday. And that's how I got ahead. Now that part-time job with my wife turned into a full-time job with a major company worldwide. Now, she's just an average sales rep, but she's making $53,000 a year. Pension, they match 6% on her 401k. I make sure we match the other 6%. So she's putting around 12% into her 401k. Last year was her first year in that 401k. She's put $4,000 in now. In December, that last quarter of 18, she lost about $400, but she's up over $10,000, and she's only put $4,000 in it.
You know, it's the key to all of that, Rick, is you're saying is you live below your means. Now what's happening is you're bringing your income up. And here's what I would do. I would save more than that 401k. I would max out my IRAs. You know, you can do this year, you can do 7,000 a year. So I would do that. You can do this. That's $14,000. You guys can probably do that. And I'm sure you're working on that, getting the college debt down. But, I mean, the point being is you're doing the right things. You got your house paid for. And by the way, you said that was 30 years ago. All right, that's about right. I mean, I started in business 35 years ago helping people with their money. And the story doesn't change. Same story, just to different people, all right, different times. So, hey, congratulations. Anything else?
I just wanted to let you know that you and Dave, I tag-teamed y'all as my archangels, and y'all were fighting on the air about who was going to be Gabriel and who was going to be Michael, and that's okay by me because the insight that you gave me as a young man back in the day has helped me tremendously. So now I'm debt-free and I'm banking money. And the only thing I'm doing this year, instead of saving more like in those IRAs, I'm getting the little housework done, little renovations done that I need, not new renovations, but upgrading it to where when I go to sell it with this market, my house has already increased $200,000 since
I've been in it.
So I don't want to move now because it's...
No, you got it paid for. You're in good shape.
I want to bank money so I can spoil my grandkids to come.
There you go. And I'll tell you what I did, Rick, that I think is a cool little thing. My family, when we first got started, my three sisters and my brother and my mom and dad were my first customers. And they started saving money. So, you know, they started with mutual funds. None of us had a mutual fund. And then, you know, we started back then. And so now since that time, of course, I've got nieces and nephews. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. And so.
One more thing before. I know you got to get me off the air. But my daughter just got a job with a major corporation. And she's getting paid $50,000 a year to start. She's in 6 months of training. That's her first job out of college. I've taken care of her school debt. Her credit rating is almost 830 points, the best you can get. So I've told my daughter, you are set for life if you manage your money.
That's
so now
it.
Now we want to get you maxing your 401k out and saving money. And I want to do what you and Dave always said, pay for that house with cash money.
There you go. And see, Rick, what I was going to tell you is what I did about last August. I told all of my kids, all of my sisters and everybody in my family, I said, you know, we're going to have 100% family that owns investments. And so I told them, I said, if you come to a 2-hour family workshop where I teach you how to handle the money, I'm going to open up an account, a gift, you know, to my nieces and nephews to help them get started. And so we did that. We had 27 people show up to the family financial workshop, and I helped them all get started, you know, with saving money. So the idea is to change the family tree by getting everybody engaged in that. So, Rick, hey, great story. I appreciate you calling in. We're going to go to a break in just a minute. And, Don, if you'll hang...
Amen. Debt-free means peace.
There you go, buddy. Thank you. Hey, and Don, hang on there. We'll get you right after the break. But we're going to continue talking about, you know, the idea of, you know, making good financial decisions. Raise your income just like he was talking about. He's got that going now. He's got a chance where he can really set aside some money. But prior to that, he lived below his means. So 737-9522. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. The Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
We're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here and talking about making money and moving forward. And we'll take your call, 615-737-9522. You can also email me at roy@roymatlockjr.com. I want to encourage you also to visit roymatlockjr.com. We've got all of the prior shows on there, and you can also download a book called How Money Works. It's over 30 pages of the how-tos, everything from setting your budget up all the way through, you know, buying the right insurance and saving money and IRAs and mutual funds, everything you can think of that will be part of the financial side of you getting it together. And I have a caller right now. Don, are you here, Don? Hello, Don.
Hey, Roy, I'm here.
Hey, buddy. All right, what's your question?
Getting ready to turn 62 and don't feel like I have my nest egg grown to where I want it to be. So, of course, I'm still working. But I was thinking about going ahead and taking Social Security and using that money to invest and grow my nest egg.
Okay.
How would that affect things?
Well, there's three numbers for the most part that, and it's not exactly this way. You need to look at your own birth date and stuff like that. But there's really three numbers when it comes to Social Security. The first one is that 62 number, and the problem with the 62 number is if you're working, you get penalized. So very seldom is it a good idea to pull it at 62 because you will get penalized if you're working. All right. Now, one of the things that is on the Social Security website that I think is pretty interesting, if you read, just go right to the website, it says no matter what time or when you pull your Social Security, you're going to end up getting the same amount of money. So what it's saying is that if you start at 62, you get less, but you get it longer. If you start at 60, say 66 or 67, you get it for a shorter period of time. You get it more, and if you wait till 70, you get the most, but you get it for the least. I always tell people that the best time, most times, is to pull it at the first full Social Security age, 66. And so what I would be looking at is just keep working. And don't, because if you're working right now, you're going to get penalized for pulling it. So you don't want to do it now. But the first time you have full Social Security age, then at that age, that's when you start pulling it. Because then what you can do, you can still make money and still draw your full Social Security. Now, the negative with that is your Social Security is going to be taxed. But, you know, that's the government is the way that works. So if it were me, I would start, you know, at full Social Security age, not at 62. So is that
okay? All right. That sounds reasonable.
Does that make sense? So, guys, if you're out there, you're at or near retirement, here's what you need to realize. These are things that you got to consider. There's considerations like, when do I pull my Social Security? I have numerous clients that started pulling their Social Security when they were at the full Social Security age. They didn't wait till 70. And the reason is let's just say you're making $2,000 a month in Social Security. Well, if you don't take that for 4 years, that's about $100,000 that you have to make up plus earnings on that $100,000. And so if you take that money at 66 and assume, even if you're still working, that you're not going to use that money and you're going to just save and invest that money and you're working, it's possible it could go into an IRA and then even get a tax deduction on it or put it in a Roth IRA where it'll grow tax-free. So now what happens is then you start drawing it, you know, whenever you quit working, but you've accumulated, you know, $100,000, $150,000, depending on what happens, and you may get some tax benefits from doing that. So what I would consider doing is you know, not do it early. Now, if you're not working and you need that money at 62, you might go ahead and do that. And so there's a number of things like that go into consideration. You know, when you get ready to pull your IRA out, you know, what should you be doing? Should you wait or should you pull taxable investments out first, which I tell people to do that and delay that money all the way out until they're 70 and a half. So there's a lot of different things like that. But, hey, I did have a call or an email that came in, and it says, I have $88,000 in home equity in my home, and I owe about the same amount on my mortgage. So basically 50% equity is what it sounds like. I have about $4,800 in debt. My home also needs some repairs. My mortgage company says I could do a cash out option or use the equity for my home repairs. What is cash out and could that benefit me? So 50% equity. So we're going to say that this is a house. It's about $170,000. you owe about 90 on it, something like that, 180,000, owe 90 on it for easy. So she's got $90,000 in equity. She's got $5,000 in debt. I don't have her income. The question is that $5,000 in debt, you know, that big a deal based on her income to just pay that off? And then the other question is it that big, how expensive are the home repairs that need done? So the question then becomes, all right, let's take a look at the rest of the story. The story number one is she has no other debt, from what I understand. Do you have an emergency fund because you want to keep some cash aside? The good news I always tell people is this. If you've got a house like that, I would always have an equity line of credit set up, because it becomes an emergency fund if you have an extended emergency to be able to keep you afloat until you maybe find another job. If you wait until you lose a job, you're not going to be able to get an equity line of credit. So I would definitely go ahead and get the line of credit. Now, whether I would use a line of credit or I would do a cash out refi, that's going to depend on a couple things. If I don't need a lot of money, I would probably go down the equity line if I'm going to borrow. If I do, if I still don't need a lot of money, but I have an opportunity to refinance the 90, and it makes sense from a rate standpoint that you can get a better rate, it's very possible you can do your cash out, also be able to refinance that debt. Okay, and one of the things on refi I would tell you to do is look at the number of years that you have left on the refinance. I would tell the mortgage company, look, I'm not going to owe more money when I walk out of closing. So what I want to do, other than if you're pulling that extra money out, and what I want you to do is build it in the rate. So if you build the cost into the rate, give me the same amount of years left all the way down to the months, am I really saving money? One of the biggest mistakes people make when they refinance their house is they refinance their house, they owe 20 years, and they're paying $1,300 a month, and they go in and they refi it for 30 years. They finance the closing costs, so now they owe more than when they did it. They save $100 or $200 a month, and they blow the difference. So basically, many refis are nothing more than extend the terms, owe more money, and blow the difference. So what I would tell you to do if you're out there refining, here's what you always should do. Tell the person that's doing the refinance, put the cost into the loan. Show me the number of years that I'm going to owe now, what I owe now. So if I owe 16 years and 3 months now, show me what the payment would be on this new deal if I owe the same amount of money for 16 years and 3 months. And if you can save money each month, then guess what you do? Refi. That's simple. Isn't that easy? You do that and you turn right around and take that difference. And if it's me, I would say take the difference and put that into your IRA, or put that into your 401k, put that into an investment, something like that. So I hope that helps. So the question is, what is a cash out refi? It means that right now most companies will loan you 75% of the equity in your home, net equity. So if you have a $180,000 house, you could go up to 75% of that, and they'll write you a check, and you'll have that money to do something with. And, you know, I'm not recommending you go in and cash out your equity, but I will say this, that is an option that you have it in terms of your net worth. It allows you to have a little bit more flexibility if something were to happen. So 615-737-9522, 615-737-9522. We'll talk about any of your money questions. You know, I had a person contact me, and they said, you know, I'm at retirement. What should I do about my house? It's paid for. I don't want to be sitting there with a big house and, you know, an older house. Would it make good sense to make some changes on a paid-for house when you get out or near retirement? So we'll talk about that when we come back. 737-9522 for your questions.
This is Roy Mathot Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Mathog Jr.
All right, we're back on the very last segment of the show today. 615-737-9522 if you want to get a quick call in. Had a caller that was asking me about what they should do when they get at or near retirement as it relates to, or maybe they're, you know, you're retired right now and you're trying to figure out some moves as it relates to your home. You know, right now there's more real estate equity in the U.S. than there is stock market value. A lot of times people go out their entire life, you know, their goal is to pay their home off. And once they get there, you know, they're excited about it because they don't have a payment. But one of the challenges that they have is they don't have enough money set aside. So they've got a house that's paid for, in many cases, an older house that has, you know, maintenance issues that may be coming up. And then they've got Social Security, a little bit of money set aside. The average 60-year-old has about $200,000, which is not a lot of money. $200,000 will give you about $10,000 a year plus Social Security. And so if you both work, you're able to get by if your house is paid for. But it's not a lot of money. But in many cases, you have your home paid for. So what should you do? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of options. One option is that you downsize the house. And so let me just give you one example. Let's say that you have a $350,000 house that's paid for, and you decide to go buy something that's low maintenance, maybe something new, which wouldn't be a bad idea, so you don't have to worry about that. Don't have to worry about fixing the house, all that kind of thing. Maybe get you something smaller and pay $200,000 for it. Well, suddenly what happened is you freed up $150,000 of cash. You can take that. You can invest that at 5%. That'll give you another $600 or $700 a month. And then that equity will be sitting outside the home. All right. It'll still have an opportunity for it to grow if you haven't invested. And now you picked up $600 or $700 a month. And you cut back on some expenses like taxes because you got a lesser expensive home. You also have less maintenance because you got something maybe newer. You might find something that's got all the floors, you know, flat, you know, just one level, that kind of thing. So that's one option that you might go down the path of if you're retired. And then what you would do is get somebody to help you to make a good decision on, you know, the right place, that kind of thing. You take into consideration if you have children, where you're going to be near and that kind of thing. So that would be one option. Another option, which I've recommended people do, and in many cases it's a very educated public when it comes to this, but I've told people that maybe a reverse mortgage is an option. And a reverse mortgage gives you an opportunity to pull cash out of your equity and put it into something that you could, you know, get an income off of. The way a reverse mortgage works, it's really a flexible payment mortgage. What that means is that you pull cash out, you can pay the interest on it, you can pay a payment on it, or you can pay nothing on it. And but the bottom line is between for you and your spouse, that house, no matter what happens, you can stay in that house until you die. At that time, there'll be a mortgage on your house, and whoever your family member is, the beneficiary that's getting that, would have a mortgage on the house, just like any other house that they might sell that has a mortgage. And they'd have a year to be able to sell it and or take it over, get a regular mortgage on it, pay the mortgage off, or if they're all at least 63, they can maybe even qualify for a reverse mortgage. Another option you could do is you could take and downsize. Let's take that $350,000 house. You go buy a $200,000 house, and you do a reverse mortgage on it. You put $100,000 down. You have a $100,000 reverse mortgage. Now you just freed up $250,000 that you can use to be able to pull money out and things like that. And so there's a lot of options out there that I think are good options for people that are retired, that they have equity in their house, but they don't have a lot of cash set aside. Had another caller ask me what they should do about their pensions. You know, pensions are not as likely today because most people are doing 401ks and they're not as likely to get a pension. But still, even with that, I see many, many people, when they get to retirement age, they have an option for a pension. So they got one option. They can cash it out. And when I say cash it out, the best thing is to roll it over. I always recommend, given a choice, to take the cash, roll it to your own individual retirement account. So if you have a pension out there and you're given that choice, that gives you the option to have the money invested, and you can put it across anything you want to put it across, rather than leaving it in for an income. Now, when you do a pension, if you don't take cash, you're going to have what's called different options, annuity options. Now, an annuity is the opposite of life insurance. If you buy life insurance, say you buy a term policy and you pay $100 a month, and maybe it's a $300,000, $500,000 term policy, if you die, it pays the $500,000. So what that means is you're betting $100 a month that you're going to die. That's really what life insurance is. You're betting $100 a month that you're going to die, and the insurance company is going to lose, and you're going to get, and your family's going to get $500,000. So we buy that because we feel like there's big enough risk in order to our family that we need life insurance. There's over 2 million GoFundMe searches just for funeral expenses. It's amazing. People are out there. They don't even have anything to even bury them, okay? So life insurance, you pay a premium to get a death benefit. You're betting you're going to die. On the annuity side, which is what a pension is, you're betting you're going to live. And you say, I'll tell you what, do. Give me the most. Give me $1,200 a month for the rest of my life, but if I die, it stops. So if I die the first month, I get $1,200, it's done. Now, I could have cashed in $50,000, but instead, give me the $1,200 a month forever. I'm going to live forever. Then what happens is if you outlive that $50,000, you're going to continue to get that $1,200. That's called a life-only option. It's a life-only option. So what that means is it's your life, it pays. Now, you can also do an option with joint survivorship. And what that means is that you can say, well, give me this and also pay for, if I die, pay as long as my wife lives. All right. So if I do that, then I'm not going to get $1,200. I'm going to get less money. And then what's going to happen is she'll get the, or he'll get, the spouse will get the money for the rest of their life. And there's numbers of options. But let me say this to you. In the long run, most of the time, annuity options are not as good a deal for you if you're willing to take and invest your money. So if you're given a choice out there, if you're already into a life option, you know, where you took it, you've already made that decision. If you're in good health, you might want to buy life insurance, a term policy, long enough, at least for 10 or 15 years, that would insure you in the event something happened to you early on and that pension's going to go completely away. Another thing, Social Security is set up the same way. I see this all the time, you know, where, you know, you have two people, they're both retired. What happens if one of you pass away? You're going to get the higher of the two, but you're going to lose money out of that. And so you got to prepare for those kind of things. So when I'm talking to people about, you know, decisions they make when they get out at or near retirement, we look at a lot of different things. You need to look at, you know, do you need life insurance still? Do you need long-term care insurance? Most people, it's a wise choice to do that. What should you do with the current home you're in? All right. What should you do? I had a scenario just recently where I was talking to someone where it was, premature death. I call that when someone is, you know, seemingly healthy and that happens, and they didn't have any type of will. And so as a result, no will, no trust, own a home, that kind of thing. So if you're sitting there and you don't have anything set up, you need to be thinking that way because, hey, at the end of the day, we know all of us are going to end up the same place. And so it's not a matter of if we're going to do it. It's a matter, what are we going to do to make sure that when we do pass away, that it's very easy, okay, for the beneficiaries to continue on while they're here. you know, my father used to carry, he had a trust, and we went in and built a, he did a revocable living trust and did some other kind of things. And I remember he carried that thing around, and the thing about a revocable trust is you can revoke it. You can do whatever you want to do with it. And he would carry it around when he had an idea. He would make changes to it. And it was interesting. He had everything planned out. When he passed away, I went out to the funeral home at the cemetery, and the lady says, "I've never seen this, but it looks like he bought these plots in like 1941 or something like that," because he understood that at one point in time, we're all going to go. So if you're at or near retirement and you would like some help to kind of find out what to do, you can contact my office, or you can go to roymatlockjr.com. It's got all of the information to be able to do that, and we'll help you with that. Hey, I'll be back next weekend on Saturday morning, and if you have questions throughout the week, what you need to do is send me an email, roy@roymatlockjr.com. Also, if you're a small business person and you've had some success, I would like to showcase you sometime. And so be sure and send me an email and tell me about your business, and we'll give you some information back. We're going to bring in some small business owners and things like that. So with that, guys, we are getting ready to finish up here. Again, I'll see you next Saturday. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Have a good weekend.